Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the Prophet, his noble and pure family, and the noble companions, and those who follow their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah based on the explanation of our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. And the first to mention tonight are the benefits of the first verse, which was explained in the previous talk. The first point of benefit is the indication of the highness, the high rank of the noble Quran, since Allah the Most High used the article ذَلِكَ, and this is a demonstrative pronoun which denotes remoteness, and in this sense it would therefore denote the high rank of the noble Quran. And since the noble Quran is qualified with this attribute of high rank, then it definitely would impart highness and nobility to the one who attaches himself to it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran in chapter 9 verse 33, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, to make it prevail over the entire religion. Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 33. Similarly, the other attributes of the noble Quran, like nobility, like greatness, also would be imparted upon those who hold to the noble Quran. And from the benefits as well is the high rank of the noble Quran from another angle, in the sense that it is written and well taken care of, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ذَلِكَ الْكِتَاب, and we made it clear that this is written, the noble Quran is written in three places: فِي اللَّوْحِ المحفوظ, in the preserved tablet, and in the registers or the records of the in the hands of the angels, and in the copies in the hands of people. And the third benefit in the first verse of the noble Quran of Surah Al-Baqarah rather, is that there is no doubt that this Quran is from Allah the Most High, because Allah states لا ريب فيه. لا ريب فيه, meaning there is no doubt that it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the points of benefit is that those who are guided by the noble Quran are those who are qualified by the title Al-Muttaqoon, those who have awe and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by ascribing to his commands and abstaining from his prohibitions. So the more a person is qualified with this taqwa, then the more he is guided by the noble Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked the guidance to an attribute, and when the ruling or the decree is dependable upon a certain attribute, then the strength of the decree or the ruling is proportional to the strength of that which it depends upon from the attribute or quality, because the quality is a cause, and the stronger it is, then the stronger it is in effect. And alright, And from the points of benefit as well is the merit of taqwa, is the merit of taqwa. And now we have defined the taqwa, is to have our fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by ascribing to his commands and abstaining from his prohibitions, and that it is from the causes that lead to guidance by the Noble Quran. And the guidance by the Noble Quran comprises the guidance of direction as well as the guidance of success. Hidayatul Irshad, the guidance of direction, meaning it directs to the path that leads to Allah, and also the guidance of tawfiq, the guidance of success. Now, if someone says, how can we reconcile the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the Quran that it is hudan lil muttaqin, guidance to the pious, and the saying of Allah in the same chapter, which is chapter 2, verse 185, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Here in this verse, Allah says in chapter 2, verse 185, if we can have the verse, is describing the Quran that it is هدى للناس. In 2:185, Hudan linnas, guidance to mankind. And in the first verse, of Surah, or in the second verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, you see, this is it, the month of Ramadan in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind. Look at it, please, and read with me the point that we're trying to discuss. A guidance for mankind. But in 2:2, we read that it is a guidance to al-muttaqin. Hudan للمتقين. So how can we reconcile these two statements? Guidance is of two types, general and special or particular. The general one is that which comprises all mankind, جميع الناس, and this refers to the guidance of directing, هداية العلم والإرشاد. Guidance is of two types, general and special. The general applies to all mankind in the sense that this refers to the hidayat, guidance of direction, directing to the truth. The example for this is the same verse which we read, hudan linnas, guidance to mankind. And like the saying of Allah concerning the tribe of Thamud, to whom Prophet Salih was sent. Allah says about them in 41:17, وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ. As to Thamud, we guided them. So this is the general guidance. We showed them the way and made clear to them the path. This is the meaning of the general type of guidance. However, the special one or the particular type of guidance, this is hidayat al-tawfiq, the guidance of success, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads and guides the person to act upon his knowledge, and this is what we have been talking regarding hudan lil muttaqin, guidance for the pious. Also, it is like the saying of Allah, this guidance of success is like the saying of Allah in Fussilat in 41:44, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ. And if we had not And if we had sent this as a Quran in a foreign language other than Arabic, they would have said, why are not its verses? But here's the point of evidence. Say, it is for those who believe, a guide and a healing. This is the guidance of success. This is the guidance of success. For those who believe, it is a guidance, a guide and a healing. So this is now the reconciling of these. This is the reconciling of these two verses. Of these two verses, and these two verses therefore tell us of the two types of guidance. The guidance, the general guidance, and that is the directing and showing the path, and the other guidance, and that is the guidance of success. Now we go to verse 3. We go now to verse 3. قال الله تعالى الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون Allah now is giving the qualities of the believers who have taqwa, who have awe. Allah is giving the qualities of them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking now talking about the first type of people, and these are the believers. So after he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala that the muttaqeen, the pious, are the ones who benefit and are guided by this Quran, then he begins subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell us of their qualities. And in the following verses Allah mentions six of their qualities, and in the following verses Allah mentions six of their qualities. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ The beginning of verse 3, please. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Those who believe in the unseen, meaning they attest to that which is hidden from them, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed himself about. And this refers to the knowledge concerning Allah himself, his angels, his books, his messengers, the last day, and the pre-decree, its good and bad. And other than that, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed from the matters of the unseen. And these matters of the unseen are unperceived realities to us. They are realities, but they are unperceived to us. We know of them from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them. The second quality of those who are muttaqeen and are guided by the Quran is that they establish the prayers. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ Verse 3 please again. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ Who believe in the ghayb, in the unseen, and perform the salah, iqamat al-salah, meaning they establish that correctly, as the Prophet ﷺ explained. And what is intended by the salah here is the kind of salah, meaning comprises both al-farida, the obligatory, and the optional ones. And from their qualities, this is the second quality of the muttaqeen, is وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ Please read with me there. Who believe in al-ghayb and who perform salah. And the third one is, and spend out of what we have provided for them. That is, they give the zakah. So they give the charity, the dutiful charity upon them. And they spend مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ So they give out of what we have provided from from the wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them. And the term min here, mimma, may mean for partitioning, meaning out of what we provided, or it could be as bayan for clarification. And there are benefits related to this which we will talk about when we talk about the points of benefits from this verse later inshallah. The fourth quality, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Fourth quality. Let's continue the verse, verse 4 now. Verse 4, please. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ. And who believe in that which has been sent down to you, O Muhammad, and وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and which were sent down, which was sent also down before you. So this means that they believe in all the books revealed, and Allah started with the Quran, which was sent down upon you, O Muhammad. Yet it was the last in timing. Why? Because there is a point of benefit here, in order to show that it is superseding all the previous books and abrogating it, or abrogating them. And as to what has been sent before you, O Muhammad, this is in reference to the Torah and the Injil, the Gospel, the Zabur, and Suhuf Ibrahim and Musa and others. The fifth quality of the muttaqeen, of the believers who fear Allah and have awe and are guided by this book, is in the same verse, is in the same verse, and they believe وَبِالْآخِرَةِ, and the hereafter. So they believe in the hereafter. This is mentioned in verse 4. And there it is. Which were sent before you, and they believe with certainty in the hereafter. And they believe with certainty in the hereafter. This is very important for the people when we put the text, to follow with the text. So they believe with certainty in the hereafter. So they believe in the resurrection after death, and what follows that on the day of Al-Qiyamah, of resurrection from reward or punishment and other things. Here Allah stated the belief in certainty in the hereafter specifically, yet it is part of the belief in the unseen. Why? There is a point of benefit. There is a point of benefit. In order to emphasize, its importance. In order to emphasize its importance. The importance of belief in the hereafter. Because believing in the hereafter with certainty makes the person motivated to comply with the commands of Allah and execute them, and to keep away from the prohibited matters. And the belief in the hereafter is the certain one where there could be no doubt whatsoever related to it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the following statement regarding those who were qualified with these attributes which we have now discussed. He spoke about them by saying in verse 5, أُولَٰئِكَ على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون, meaning those who were mentioned in the previous verses with these qualities that we just heard are on the right direction and success. And Allah pointed to them using the word ulaik, using the word ulaik, and this is also a demonstrative word implying remoteness because of their high rank. And Allah said here ulaika ala, on true guidance, on, and this on is for highness, that they are on this true guidance, following it, going on it, because they are moving on a clear path, having no doubt. You find them coming forward to do the righteous deeds as if there is a light before them guiding them. You, for example, find them examining the wisdoms and secrets of the Sharia and the laws of Allah, knowing what's hidden from so many people regarding them, regarding the laws. And you see them when they examine to the matters, or when they examine the pre-decree, as if they see the matter is for their benefit, even though they may be touched by harm. They see that this is for their advantage, because Allah had lit the way for them. فَهُمْ عَلَى هُدَى, so they are on guidance from their Lord. And this guidance, it is like a mount offering them deliverance from destruction, or like a ship delivering them from drowning. So they are holding firm because of the guidance, since they are on it. Min Rabbihim, they are on true guidance from their Lord, who created them and who runs their affairs. And the lordship here mentioned is a special one, comprising the special nourishment in which there is the happiness in this life and the hereafter. Then Allah said about them, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The end of verse 5, please. Let's have verse 5 again. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they are the successful. Allah repeated the demonstrative term they. Look at this. In the beginning he said they are on the true guidance, and then he said again وَأُولَٰئِكَ, and they, he repeated it twice, are the successful. Why? To emphasize what is denoted by the first they, from the high rank and the utmost care concerning them. وَأُولَٰئِكَ, they are المفلحون, the successful. What is success? What is the definition of success? In Arabic it is called الفلاح. Let's write that down. الفلاح, success. What is the definition of success? الفلاح, success, هو الفوز بالمطلوب والنجاة من المرهوب, is attaining what is sought, and والنجاة من المرهوب, and being saved from what is feared. This is the definition of success. attaining what is sought and being saved from what is feared. This is the true success. So it is a comprehensive term which comprises negation of all evil and occurrence of all good. This is the definition of falah, of success. Here there is a point that needs to be addressed. It is known to the people of knowledge that grammatically, conjunction, let's write this down, that conjunction in grammar entails variation. That conjunction, grammatically, conjunction entails variation and difference. So when you say and, those that are mentioned in the conjunction statement are varied, are different. Now, here in the statements that were mentioned in these verses, you heard, if you go to the verses, and I will read them for you, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen, and establish prayers, and give from what we bestowed upon them, and they believe in that which has been sent to you, and in that which has been sent before you, and in the hereafter. Okay, you have heard this, and all statements of conjunction. So these attributes are attributes of the muttaqeen, the ones who are pious. But you know, the pious person is one. So how could there be, how could this be understood in line with the grammatical rule that conjunction entails variation? Yet these are all attributes of the pious. Do you understand the issue here now? Do you understand this problem? The answer: variation can take place in individuals, in themselves. For example, when you say in a grammatical context, Zaid came and Amr. Zaid came and Amr. We know that they are different. And also, the case is true with the attributes. And the case is true with the, this is with individuals, okay? And the case is similar also with the attributes. Just like in these verses. As in the saying, for example, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'la, verse 1 to 4. In Surah Al-A'la, verse 1 to 4. Which is 87. 87. Let's see these verses. 87, 1 to 4. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. Glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High. الذي خلق فسوى. Look at this. Different now, different attributes. Who has created everything and then proportioned it. والذي قدر فهدى. And who has measured the preordainments, etc. والذي أخرج المرعى, verse 4, and who brings out the pasturage. What is the benefit from the point being made here? This, the benefit here, yes, the benefit here necessitates the affirmation of the first attribute as if it is the affirmation of the first attribute as if he said, Allah, I am qualified by this, meaning the first attribute, and more. And more. Okay, now, the points of benefits from these verses are as follows. That from the descriptions and qualities of the pious is the belief in the unseen. Because the belief in the witnessed is not belief, because the witness cannot be denied. And secondly, from the attributes of the pious is the establishment of the prayers, all forms of prayers, obligatory and optional. And as a subdivision to this, as a branch to this, lies the objective of motivating the believers to establish the salah, because it is from the qualities of the pious. And the establishment of the prayer is to bring it correct in accordance to the way prescribed in Sharia, in its tranquility, submission, standing, sitting, bowing, prostrating, and the like. And from the benefits of these verses, that it is from the qualities of the pious is to spend in the way of Allah from what Allah bestowed upon them. And this comprises the obligatory spending, like the zakah, and the voluntary spending, like the charity, and in ways of good. From here we know also we have a point of benefit, that the charity of the one who seizes something illegally is false, because Allah says وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ. Here Allah says, and from that which we have bestowed upon them, provided for them. Why we say that the charity of the one who seizes something by force or illegally is not acceptable? Because this person does not possess the property that he is offering as a charity, and thus his charity is not acceptable. So this is deducted from the saying of Allah here, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ, in the verse, and from that which we provide for them. And from the benefits also here regarding the charity work, that spending is something other than the obligatory charity. It is not limited to some certain amount, because the verse is general. And from this we can say that it is permissible to spend all of the property in the ways of good, as Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, did when he gave all his property in charity. However, this is conditional. This is conditional in the sense that as long as it does not involve abandoning the duty of spending on the family and the like. If this occurs, or if this is to happen, then the obligatory charity takes precedence over the optional one. And from the benefits of these verses is the dispraise of misery, How could this be concluded? Because Allah lauded and commended those who spend in charity. And when there is no spending, there is no commendability. And misery is an ugly manner or a bad quality. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned against it in many verses in the Noble Quran. In these verses, it is to be pointed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the ways in which the spending should take place. However, this had been mentioned in many or in other places, emphasizing that the commended spending is that which is done in the cause of Allah without extravagance nor misery, as stated in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 67, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Okay, can someone put the text please? 25-67. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And those who, when they spend, are neither extravagant nor niggardly, but hold a medium way between those extremes. And from the benefits of these verses is that it is from the qualities of the believers that they believe in what is sent down on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and what was sent before him. And from the qualities is the belief with certainty in the hereafter, in the last day. And from this is the importance of belief in certainty in the last day, because it instigates and motivates action for and motivation for righteous deeds. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always links the faith in Him with faith in the hereafter. And as to the person who doesn't believe in the hereafter, then there is nothing to motivate him to act righteously. Rather, he will work for his life, for this life alone. He may transgress when seeing that this is for his benefit in this life. For example, stealing, enjoining his lust unlawfully, lying, cheating, because he doesn't believe in the hereafter. So the belief in the hereafter really is the thing which motivates the person to do righteous deeds. And from the points of benefits is that the safety and security in the path of those qualified with these attributes mentioned in these verses so far. Because Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. And those are on true guidance from their Lord. And from the benefits is that the Lordship of Allah is general and particular. The Lordship of Allah is general and particular. And they both were mentioned in one statement concerning the magicians of Fir'aun. The magicians of Fir'aun. Let us look at the verse and see how the benefit, learn the benefit that the Rububiyyah of Allah, the Lordship of Allah, is of two types: general and particular, and both were combined in two verses in Surah Al-A'raf 7:121 and 122. Listen to them. طيب. Yeah, they said آمنا برب العالمين رب موسى وهارون. They said, look at this. They said, we believe in the Lord of Al-Alameen, all that exists. This is the general lordship. And then, look what they said, the Lord of Musa and Harun, Aaron. So this is the particular, special lordship. Both were combined in these two verses. So the lordship of Allah is of two types, general one, comprising all creation, and particular. And from the benefits, that those pious qualified with these attributes, they are indeed on the path of success. Because Allah said at the end of verse 5, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And they, those who are qualified with these attributes, are the successful ones on the path of success. And from the points of benefit, and this is the 13th point of benefit so far, alhamdulillah, that success depends on holding or having these qualities mentioned in these verses. So if there is a flaw or defect in one attribute, then there is a diminution in the state of success proportional to the degree of a flaw or defect in that particular attribute. Because the correct saying from the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and which is supported by textual and intellectual proofs, that faith increases and decreases and is partitioned, and without this there would have been no different ranks in paradise. There are different ranks in paradise, as we know. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in the hadith reported in Bukhari and Muslim, إِنَّ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ لَا تَرَاؤُونَ أَصْحَابَ الْغُرَفِ كَمَا تَرَاؤُونَ الْكَوْكَبَ الدُّرِّيَّ الْغَابِرَ فِي الْأُفُقِ. The people of paradise will look at the dweller of the lofty mansions, and these lofty mansions are superior places in paradise, in the same way as one looks at a brilliant star far away in the east or in the west on the horizon, all that because of their superiority over one another, that is in rewards. On that the people said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, تلك منازل الأنبياء لا يبلغها غيرهم. Are these residences, the lofty mansions, for the prophets which nobody else can reach? They exclaimed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, No. By him, Allah, in whose hands my life is, these are for the men who believed in Allah and also believed in the messengers. So it is not particular to the prophets. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us in the lofty mansions with the prophets and with the messengers. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We stop here before we continue inshallah tomorrow. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished telling us about the first type of people, the believers, the muttaqeen. In the next verses, which we will discuss tomorrow inshallah, Allah will tell us about the second type of people, and these are the pure kafirs. And then He will tell us about the third type of people, the hypocrites. So inshallah ta'ala we continue the explanation. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.